In our second reading today, probably contains the most famous verse in the Bible, especially if you go to like football games or something like that. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And the famous John 3:16 is a verse that's oftentimes taken, in fact, it's usually taken out of context. But John in chapter 3 is this most fascinating story of a visit by Nicodemus, who comes to see Jesus. And so there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, and a Pharisee is one who studies the law. So it's an attorney, because we're probably in Jerusalem at the time, this is probably a fairly high-level politician, if you want to just think of it in those terms. So he came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these things that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above or born again. The wind blows where it chooses, and you do not hear, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "So how can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, he said, "You are a leader of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak about what we know and we testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe me if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. For indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on us. Lord God, that your word may not return empty. Amen. Trinity Sunday has, it's always perplexed me. I liked what Candace did with the children's sermon with the, what do you call that stuff? Oobleck. Oobleck. Which is goop that is kind of solid and kind of liquid and bona fide weird. It's like, you know, so I can't even experience it and I still don't get it. You know, and sometimes the metaphors do really nice things, but the metaphors all are seem inadequate to the spirit. It was 35 years ago when I was in my second year of seminary, and I at the end of the second year, you take your ordination exams. And so I took my ordination exams, and the question on the ordination exam had to do with the Trinity. And so I gave my very wonderful, highly theological, well-studied response to the question. And when I got back the results, I had failed the theology exam. So it was a little disappointing, and the So I can tell you straight out that I began my career as a pastor by failing the exam on the Trinity, so just know what you're getting here is only worth what it's worth. But it was really quite a frustrating thing, and it's probably because of that event, I've studied the Trinity for most of my adult life, and it's kind of fun that where most of the literature is now is kind of where I was when I wrote that paper, but I was just so far ahead of my time, or maybe I'm just defensive. It's a little bit hard to know, but I do know that who I am now is not who I was then. And I do know that life has been an amazing teacher to me. And I know that as I have made the journeys of my days, I've been invited to learn the most fascinating things from the most fascinating of people. And I find it interesting those who have shown up in my life to teach me. You know, like most of you all here are in that category. You have come alongside of me and you have walked with me, and you've challenged me in ways that sometimes have made me very uncomfortable. And some people have challenged me in ways that felt like kind of right in my roundhouse, and I can work with that. And I thank everybody for all the ways that the Spirit of God worked in the heart of your lives to help me to develop as the person I am. And hopefully, as we've made a journey together, I have been able to bring things to you that have pushed you and stretched you and made you uncomfortable and made you comfortable. Because that's kind of what we do in life together is we show up and we come along. And sometimes we are kind of sitting in a pew or standing in a pulpit. And sometimes we're just kind of going through motions and we do what we do. And there's not something spectacular that happens every single time that we come together. A lot of times we are looking at our watches and we're just wondering, is this guy ever going to shut up? And that's part of it too. You know, we show up and we spend our time together and we learn what we learn, and we have moments and we have insights. And sometimes the insight is Jason walking down the aisle on his way down to be watched in the nursery. And his waving to everybody as if he is the princess who just got married, and he's acknowledging his loyal fan base. And you know, and it's good for our hearts. It's good for my heart to watch as little ones grow into larger ones, and as lives fill in, and as people come into places, into moments where the Spirit of God encounters and pulls in a direction such that, well, you know, we've never really thought like that before. I've never quite had that idea before. I never fully appreciated the beauty of that moment or that smile or that action. And we kind of move through our lives. So it is the day of the Trinity where the living Spirit of Jesus Christ, not a different spirit than the one that was with Jesus, the same Spirit that moved across the face of the waters on the day that God created the heavens and earth, and the same Spirit that animated the voice of the Word of God as the Word was spoken and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God the Creator and God the Spirit and God the Word of God, the Christ, present in that beginning verse of the scripture, that whole of God present in our lives, inviting us, challenging us, calling us into life, putting us in circumstances that we don't understand or comprehend, helping us to change, to open, to soften, to become. It is Trinity Sunday. It's also Memorial Day weekend. And our flags are in the sanctuary today. And they need to be here today and several days throughout the year. And I think about people that God has brought into my life to teach me. And I guess now for about 28 years, I've been venturing on to Fort Lewis and McCord Air Force Base, now JBLM. Pretty much, you know, sometimes as many as 7-8 times a week, sometimes as rarely as once or twice a week. But I've been showing up, and I've been encountering teachers. I've been the person in front of the classroom who gets to write the notes on the board and give people assignments and grade their papers. But there's an old adage in teaching. It says, when you are a teacher by your students, you will be taught. And I'm very humbled by the people that have come alongside of me in my journey as a teacher, and specifically a teacher to people in the U.S. military. I was teaching out there before Desert Storm happened. And remember when we went into that action back in 1991, how all of a sudden everything was different. I remember doing briefings with family members of people who were in theater, trying to let them know what they might be expecting when their soldier returned home, and trying to prepare people for that reentry. And I remember teaching in McCord on the day of 9/11. I had a good number of students, a big face-to-face class, and that day, of course, we weren't able to go into our classrooms. The military, the post was shut down, and nobody was getting on for any reason whatsoever. So we found a way to post. Two of my students showed up. Duty, they needed to go somewhere. They needed to finish their courses, and that was these very, very convoluted. And thinking about that, and then when I would receive the people's papers and teaching sociology, and I was wondering if their family that we welcomed as we stepped into the effect, the consequence of terrorism, as where is the wisdom of taking away people's freedoms, the tension of that? Confirmation on this, but as years went by and we got involved in Afghanistan and we got... And when I got that message, it meant that they had either really injured us too when we tried to make things happen. But I got back carrying the wounds of having been there. It broke their hearts and broke their souls about the genuine sacrifice that we... They taught me about lives that are lived faithfully with integrity. And they tag, I think, of faces and stories in their very best attempt to appreciate and protect those things that we were willing heroes did. A lot of people saw and experienced things that left them deeply and permanently wounded, to keep their lives together, to try to keep their families together. And some do all right, and some not so much. Not all of the dying happens on the battlefield. And I think back to who went to Vietnam and didn't come home, and the time that Carolyn had a surgery, and many stories of the bomb that he had deployed with died. Wayne carried the pain. And to welcome and is appropriate for us to do, and us to intersect, to have our lives intertwined, and how people, in sharing their stories, in the words spoken, in the breath uttered in ways we don't understand. Those have been forfeit, whose sobriety is compromised. We remember this day, we remember this weekend. So I have found voices to speak in things that I can't really understand because it's not my story, and honor. So God finds in the families and veterans. God finds voice in the families and the dreams that anchor our best. Sometimes turns into civil religion, and sometimes we use to batter for all. God finds creation calls us to create yet a new community that all the people that God has called to service, to be the best people we can be in the best values of our nation, of those who have been put in our lives. For the Spirit, it blows where it wants. But we do know that for moments, that Spirit of God touches our lives. Lord, we are, should see. And I have no words in the pain that exists in. Give words and that transforms this world after your purpose, after your dream. May none of them.